mean, this is just, the way I see it is like, this is the type of thing I would love to just listen to while doing dishes for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just people having a conversation about The Office.
Yeah. It's crazy to think The Office is kind of like our Seinfeld. Or it's even like bigger than that, I think. It doesn't have the second life in a way. I think the way that shows used to have a second life is through syndication, right?
Right, right.
Like, I watched Seinfeld when I was in high school on TBS, when I had like days home from school or something, you know? Yeah. And like now kids have, you know, iPads and stuff and Netflix, and they can just watch, you know, 30 hours of The Office on a weekend or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, should we jump back in?
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show by fans of The Office, for fans of The Office. I'm Sean Roney, co-manager.
I'm regional director in charge of sales, Edwin Janes.
And with us, as always, in the warehouse is our producer, Mr. Alex Ward.
Gentlemen.
Today, we're going to be discussing the Michael Scott Paper Company, the namesake for this show.
Well, I think as we were coming up with the idea for this show, brainstorming in general, we kind of narrowed in on a lot of things about The Office that we wanted to talk about. These are based, obviously, on conversations that we've had in real life. And the Michael Scott Paper Company arc, I think, is something that we've zeroed in on as like one of our co-favorite things, like a really like a sharp point, a turning point in this series.
There's some of the best episodes in the whole show, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a turning point in a lot of ways for what the show is. And we're just going to unpack it. Talk about some of our favorite things and ask each other some questions. Let's start with...
Let's dive right in.
Michael Scott Paper Company kind of starts in season 5. We see it... What were you saying?
It starts
with the episode New Boss.
So yeah, so it's about... let's see. It's a 5-episode arc or a 6-episode arc. Starts with episode 20 to 25. It starts with New Boss when Charles Minor comes into the office and kind of acts as a block between... Michael and David Wallace, as Michael is trying to plan his 15th anniversary party, right? Michael puts in his 2 weeks' notice because he doesn't feel respected. He starts his own paper company, forms the Dream Team. They have some challenges trying to get up and running. They end up stealing a bunch of clients from Dunder Mifflin, and then Dunder Mifflin ends up buying them out and resorbing them back into the organization.
That's the whole arc there, mm-hmm. and in just a quick summary. Charles Minor is a very important part of why the Michael Scott Paper Company happens. He seems to be the only person who can really control Michael or actually... Because like Jan never was able to get her way with Michael.
Like as Michael himself said, Jan would only come in when she wanted to hook up and Ryan would come in to see his parents and do laundry. So I think one of the really crazy things about this moment or this arc is that Charles Minor kind of acts like a real boss in some respects to Michael. Right. You know, the first couple seasons have this real serious tone where Jan is very much looking over his shoulder, but that really falls away once they become romantically involved. And then when Ryan comes in for that like season 4 moment, but you know, he's really holding Michael accountable, right? He no parties, no overtime, no of these these sort of excessive sort of things. He's really these trying to tighten things up.
And Jim holding Jim accountable too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think as I think about this, it's almost like the show gets kind of spun around, and even though it's like it ends up being a 360 and they're walking in the same direction, like a lot of things are just totally changed, right?
Right.
It is the first, like to your point, it is the first moment where Jim is made to look bad in the whole show. Right, it is the first moment where Michael kind of stands up for himself, where Pam stands up for herself, right?
Right,
and where they're almost like Michael as a salesman is kind of really established as like a force, you know, or is the fact that Michael is good at his job underpins a lot of The Office in future seasons, right? Where him being bad at his job is kind of an undercurrent of the early seasons.
Right, and we'll get back to like I think a lot of what this arc teases at is. You know, is Michael good at his job or not? And I think it shows that he is in some aspects, and in some aspects he isn't.
Right. And he wins in the end.
He wins in the end, but, you know, like, I mean, this is another great arc for Dwight. We see him do a full 360 where he has his loyalties to Michael tested. He kind of becomes an informant a little bit, and he starts to help Michael out, but eventually comes back to Charles because he finally is a competent boss who's patting Dwight on the back and going, "You're much better than Jim," and that's all he's ever wanted to hear.
Charles Minor's a villain, and Dwight ends up taking his side.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I appreciate your focus, your work ethic, right?
Right, right.
And I think one thing that is, like, I think objectively establishes that Michael is a great salesman, but it's always up in the air whether or not he's a good manager. Not, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of evidence to say that he's a pretty bad manager, but there are moments, like, I'm thinking specifically of when he puts, he moves Ryan to the annex to sit next to Kelly, and Toby's like, "I don't know if he wanted that to punish, if he did that to punish me, but if so, genius." Like,
a good manager doesn't fire people; he hires people and inspires people.
Yeah.
All right, so we get Charles Minor in there, ruffling some feathers for Michael. Michael goes to New York, goes to David Wallace, tries to figure something out, but then quits on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things that kind of set this up are, I think the one moment that really sets this up for me is the business trip episode, episode 8, where Michael is sent on this international business trip, right, to Winnipeg.
And
David Wallace is like, who wants to go to Winnipeg in January or whatever it is, right?
Right.
He talks about being this international traveler or whatever, right? And then at the end of the episode, Michael is in the airport and he's talking to David. And David's like, "Hey, you made the sale or whatever." And he's like, "Yeah, well, this is a terrible trip, David." And like, he's like, "You know, business class was basically coach, and the concierge was basically just like a host or something." Like,
yeah, yeah.
And
concierge, they have one of those. Yeah.
he said it hit blue chunks is what he said to describe the trip. But David Wallace is like, "I don't understand." And Michael eventually just goes, "Why did you send her away?
Yeah,
you knew that I liked her. Why did you send her away?" Right? And he's talking about Holly. So they're building up this sort of pattern where Michael is uncomfortable. Michael is feeling kind of disrespected, right? And it is a weird organizational structure where the regional manager goes directly to the CFO, right?
Right.
Like, that's one of the weird things about the show is that, like, the CFO is, like, so involved in the day-to-day operations of a branch. But notwithstanding, I think the other thing that kind of happens is the Golden Ticket episode, which is right before the new boss episode. And always thought of that as part of the Michael Scott Paper Company arc for some reason.
Okay, all right.
It's not really, but I always think of it. It's a bit of
a stand aside. It's a bit of a, not a throwaway episode, but it sort of exists. It's one of those episodes
that
really
does exist at any point
you could put
in
it
the
anywhere,
show.
Yeah.
But by putting it there, what happens is Michael comes up with this idea. He dresses up like Willy Wonka, right?
Right.
He dances around and he puts the golden tickets in like 5 boxes on a pallet that goes to Blue Cross Blue Shield, right?
Or, yeah.
Something like that. And, I love, one of my favorite moments in the whole series is like, we send 5 pallets to them every Monday or something like that. And Michael goes, "What's a pallet?" It's so great. But anyway, there's that moment where David Wallace comes in and he's like, "This is such a great idea. I want to know whose idea it was." And he tries to get Dwight to take the fall at first because it's like a 20% discount on this huge order, right?
Right.
And then at the end, Michael's like, "I want all of the credit, but none of the blame." And David Wallace is like, "I'm done. Pam, don't send me those notes. I am gone." Right? Yeah. So the move there is to bring in Charles to kind of restore some order and some oversight to this branch.
So you think that I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
You think that directly, David Wallace leaves that day and says, "I need to get someone else in here to manage this branch because it's just
I think it's implicit.
Chaos.
It doesn't say anything, but like if you think about the fact that episode is right before it.
Yeah.
The last thing he says is, "I'm gone. Like, I don't want anything to do with this," right?
Yeah.
He's based out of New York. He's a chief.
This is in 2009 also. Like, I wonder if at the time, like right after the recession in 2008, you know, I feel like that sort of infiltrated the show a little bit in terms of the economics of like, all right, we're running a paper company, the economy's collapsing. I think that kind of got reflected. I mean, the shareholders meetings and those sorts of things where they're like, how do we survive? All of our branches are doing worse. How do we do better? Mm-hmm. That's kind of a theme throughout this era of the show.
Yeah.
And maybe that's sort of why he starts, like, I think that was a good time to sort of do this thing. Let's have Michael have a startup and start his own company.
Right.
You know, like kind of to sort of be an underdog. And Michael's been such a staunch company man.
Right.
Unwavering the whole time. And it's like, let's put him outside of that comfort zone and see what happens.
Just to go through a couple of things also from season 5 in the lead up to the Michael Scott Paper Company arc, the surplus episode, right? Where they have this extra thing and he calls David Wallace and he's like, "Hey, what do I do?" And yeah. David is like, why don't you just
You
want me to weigh in on a minor budget concern? You know, and he's like, I would just take the bonus, right? So again, looping in David Wallace. Or in the Prince Family Paper episode where he makes Michael go out. And, you know, at the end, he ends up taking out Prince Family Paper, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you're a titan of industry, my friend. You know, yeah. And again, it's like it pushes him out of his comfort zone in a way that he really doesn't feel comfortable with. Right. You know? I'm just thinking of when he quits and he writes down places he could look for it. It says Prince Family Paper, other companies. That's his list, right? So I think there are a lot of sort of contributing factors to the Michael Scott Paper Company.
Really, David, yeah, you're right. David yeah. Wallace really kind of pushed this whole thing, or even before Charles Minor showed up, started pushing Michael, and he should have just left him alone. None of it would have happened. But so Charles Minor shows up. He takes away Michael's birthday party.
I think really quickly too, when he does come in, he comes in at like one of the most ridiculous cold opens in the show, which is when they're planning out Michael's 15th anniversary yes. party, and Jim is wearing a tuxedo.
Right.
They're talking about an ice sculpture, and yeah. all they're talking, and they're just throwing around the word classy all yeah. the time.
French. Day class A.
Day class A. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then what happens? The new boss comes in and Jim is like, hey, I wish you would have told me before I wore this tuxedo into the office.
What are you
office.
Talking about? You look dynamite.
Exactly. Right. And then we set up Jim to look really bad, and Charles to kind of come in and try to shake things up, or at least try to like put some law and order in on the
yeah. The whole yeah. universe is disrupted because yeah. it's like Jim becomes the slacker, Dwight becomes the best employee, Michael's under the heat. It's like all yeah. these sorts of things that you were like in a normal office, this is what actually would happen. That sort of like, let's press that hand on the show,
right?
And watch everyone squirm.
This that same factor I think is dialed up to like 11 when Robert California comes in season 8, right. where it's like this extreme reaction of what happens when you have an imposing boss. He like you want to have the conversation with him, but you don't, you know. And when he comes by, you like sit up a little straighter. You right. really make sure you're doing Robert your California. Work. Like, right, exactly. Robert California, let's have a conversation. Yeah, but Charles Minor, I think, is the first like piece of that.
So Michael goes to New York, goes to David Wallace, quits, comes back. Retells the story to everyone in the office.
Right, because David Wallace is like, we'll do the party, we'll have your figs.
Yeah. Yeah. But he quits, and he's goofing off in the office. He's drinking scotch and soda. Scotch and Splenda.
I love when he's retelling the story, and he's like,
yeah.
And then I went into the revolving door, and they're like, at least he's in the building. And he's like, no, actually, it was the wrong building. Yeah.
By the way, it was just a moment of live TV when he quits at the end of that episode. Was awesome. I remember like seeing that, watching it with all the friends I was watching at the time, and mm-hmm. it was really like a, because you don't see it coming. He's sitting there smiling, and then it's just like, I quit.
He gets up and he shakes his hand. He goes, all right, I quit.
And that was just like a real live TV, like, whoa, wow.
What is it? Everybody's listening to him retell the story, and they're like, you didn't tell him about all the years he took from your life, and like, yeah, and he's like, you guys have really thought about this,
right? They're like, he finally has a story that we all want to hear, and he's just like, he's just like swimming in it. It's so funny. But yeah, he's drinking scotch and Splenda, right?
Yeah,
she's aggressively like showing everybody. Mm-hmm. He's like,
I'm not gonna like worry. Splenda gets you drunk like scotch.
I'm not gonna worry about calories. It's a dangerous game.
I'm gonna do a little of this. I'm gonna do a little of that. I'm going to stay up all night and sleep in all day.
Is this the same episode where he's like standing there eating cake? Or is that in season 7?
Where he eats
he's
someone's cake.
He's like eating
Meredith's cake.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's lemon, you know?
Yeah.
And Ryan is like, I like your spirit, man. And he goes up to Aaron and he's like, I think you're attractive. I want to sleep with you. She's like, what?
No, that can't be.
No, that has to be later.
Ryan's yeah. in the bowling alley.
Aaron's not there, and Ryan.
Oh,
and
Ryan is in the bowling alley. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I'm all out of sorts.
That's a good point to bring up, too, that Ryan has kind of left the show. I mean, how long has he been gone at this point?
End of season 4.
So, okay, so this is pretty late in season 5, right?
We're yeah.
like past half. I mean, this is like.
It's new just over boss halfway is like, through season 5, right?
Oh, near the end. I mean, episode 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
And remember, season 4 is an abbreviated season, so it's right yeah. at the end when, mm-hmm. goodbye, Toby.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, they're like, look, it's the kid, it's the kid. He gets pulled off in handcuffs, and Jim leaves him like that passive-aggressive voicemail, yeah, you yeah. know. So yeah, correct. Ryan is out of the show. So that's in a whole another episode.
Right,
a whole
right.
other time and place.
Right.
But one of the things that happens is that as Michael leaves, right, he's basically kicked out, right? And he's like, Charles calls up Hank. to escort him out of the building. And he's like, you think Hank is going to be loyal to you?
Yeah. Hank, escort Charles out of the building. Come on, man.
And then I think one of the like great moments is when he stands and he tells everyone in the office, like, are you doing your best here? Like, is this who you want to be? Right. And Pam goes with him. Right. And I think
she has that whole thing with the color copier. Right. She is able to repair the new copier herself.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
And she's like very proud of herself for a split second. And then as she's saying it, that she's really proud that she knows everything about the color copier, she realizes how much she doesn't care about this job.
The show does such a good job with those small moments of like life realizations or just these tiny, tiny like procedural things like fixing a copier or even when she does her paintings and the feedback she gets and then like turning that into plot and making that like real events that happen in someone's life that change everyone else in the show.
I work with a color copier at work. I understand that the like feeling so well just because they're complicated machines, but it is just a depressing. Okay, so Pam goes with him.
Mm-hmm. And he starts to build the company out of his house, right?
Right.
His condo.
He makes all that French toast.
Apple started out of a garage, and they're starting out of a condo, so they already have a leg up on Apple.
It's beautiful.
Fantastic physical comedy moment with all the eggs all over Michael.
Oh, my
There's
gosh,
egg in my crock. I was thinking then of the bathrobe, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Answers the door in his bathrobe and says, oh, my hooker's here. Like, that is so unprecedented. That is wildly. That is a
the
really
thing
bad.
I'm worried about? I'm getting a boner.
Such a inappropriate
and then
start
the
to
first
his new company.
The first letter he gets is like, oh, first letter, just the Michael Scott Paper Company.
Yeah.
It's like, Mr. Scott, please be advised it is a violation of your rental agreement to operate a business out of your own home.
Right.
So
they decide they need to get some office space.
But the first thing they do is assemble a dream team.
Yeah.
Oh, Vikram's back.
Vikram Gandhi. Yeah. I was so excited in that moment. Like, one of my favorite things about really diving into television shows, and I think The Simpsons for me was the first example of this, is when a show rewards you for paying attention, right? And I remember watching it with people, and they were like, oh, we're going to go get Vikram. He's the best salesman I've ever met. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe Vikram is back. Because, like, Vikram has, like, such a short little moment at the telemarketing company, right?
Yeah. One episode, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you having for dinner? This is eggplant, lentils, and rice. What are you having? I'm going with the vanilla crisp tonight.
It's got the power bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the few times, you know, Michael outside of the office making real friends, you know, Vikram's kind of in that group, sort of, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder what I would have been in India.
Yeah. He goes, I was a surgeon in the old back in India. And he's like, I wonder what I would have been in India. Maybe head of medicine or something, like head of the hospital. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So they get Vikram. We got Vikram.
They've got me.
Then they had, he's got a meeting with some investors.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way to that meeting, they stop at the bowling alley. They're not sure that he could be in there bowling. He says he needs to go to the bathroom. Pam goes in and we find
Ryan Howard. Blonde Ryan Howard.
Love that Michael knows where he's working and like probably goes bowling.
Keeps
there.
Keeps in touch with him.
Probably.
That's something I hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
They must be staying in touch.
Or Michael found out he works there, and I bet he goes bowling by himself after work sometimes.
I'm sure Ryan calls in favors to Michael still.
Sure.
Still uses him.
Mm-hmm. Because this is still, you know, the fall from grace, Ryan.
Yes.
And I think when Ryan comes back later, there's a moment, gosh, I might be confusing this with the deleted scene, but there's a moment where Michael is like, the talking head, and he's like, I called the temp agency and I said, give me Ryan Howard. I have to have him, right? So like it doesn't go away. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Driving down that one-way street. Yeah. This episode also has one of my favorite quotes in the whole show. It's Vikram Gandhi. And Michael, I think, goes in the bowling alley and Vikram goes, confidence. The food of the wise man, but the liquor of the fool.
And then Pam says, I'm looking forward to getting to know you more, Vikram.
Yeah.
Which she does not.
No, unfortunately. Vikram lasts an episode.
Ryan steals as many bowling shoes as he can, and they hop in the car and head to the retirement home, where we meet Michael's Nana
possibly the only, I think it's the only family member of Michael's we ever meet.
No, at least in person. Luke, the nephew.
Of course. Luke.
But in terms of, immediate family, yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the farmer that grows that really shitty weed.
That's the pizza boy, though. That's the pizza boy from the launch party episode.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. I got conflated those two guys.
Mm-hmm. But it's very easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It all blurs together sometimes. But anyway, so they're calling around trying to get office space, right? Because they get declined by Nana and her investment club.
Yes.
It's an investment club, not
Nana,
a handout club.
Tough love from Nana.
Exactly. And he calls Billy.
He's clearly Billy. A far savvier businessman than Michael is.
I do love, though. Oh, I also love right after that meeting, Vikram being like, what kind of a name is Nana? And they're like, it means grandmother.
Sweet Jesus.
Take me back to that.
Yeah. And he goes, you know what? You're not successful, Michael. And Michael closes the door in his face. The best salesman he's ever met, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think the office closes with him calling Billy Packer.
Right.
And he's like, anywhere but there. And then they end up in the supply closet, you know.
At the building.
Right. And they start trying to, they have the cold open where, is that cold open? Where they start down in the Michael Scott Paper Company?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, but they start, they do the pancake breakfast where they cook them square, right?
Yeah.
And Creed is like, you got to cook these in circles, boss, so they cook round. Or they cook evenly. And he takes the big stack from under his coat. Yeah. But anyway, they start.
If I can't scuba, then what's this all been about?
What is any of this for?
Hard to get the Creed drops in there sometimes.
Yeah. You have to, though.
Yeah.
But
then I'll have two chairs. Only one to go.
But anyway, the first thing that happens is, let's see. Oh, okay. So in the Michael Scott Paper Company episode, they host the paper and pancakes luncheon.
Yes.
But Pam makes her first sale to Russell from the pancake luncheon.
Yep. Yes. She offers a guarantee.
That's right. I guarantee. and then there's also that moment where Michael's like, well, only a few people have responded RSVP'd, but almost everyone has seen it.
Yeah. Six. Like,
the other thing that happens in this episode is Dwight and Andy both are into Aaron.
Right.
And then they're both like, we need to get out of each other's way so we don't have another Angela situation. So they play the guitar and
yes,
the banjo.
Yes, that is one of my favorite scenes.
And then they realize that they're friends.
Yeah, they become friends.
They hit the harmonies and they look at each other and it's a beautiful moment.
She leaves the room and they keep going. Yeah. Toby knocks on the window. You got to stop.
Sing it, Andy! a great moment, yeah.
All right, so after that...
Laying on the charm.
So the next step, of course, is Michael Scott Paper Company becomes really successful. Michael pulls out his Rolodex.
Yes.
And
look at that old man go.
Yeah. That's when we first see that Michael, I think, is a really good salesman, right? Outside of the fact that it's alluded to when he is in his managerial role, and Jan is like, I recommend he go back to sales where he belongs.
Right.
But... anyway, so Michael tries to steal their clients. Jim and is this the one where Jim has to make a rundown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jim is now alone kind of in the office. He doesn't have Pam or Michael. And Charles Minor is asking him to make a rundown. And instead of asking what that is, he just kind of...
Yeah, and I think another thing we kind of glossed over in the Dream Team episode is also the episode where they all play soccer.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. That is one of my favorite parts of The Office. I love Idris Elba saying, has so many good lines in that one. What do you say, Jim? You want to play some soccer? I love that.
There's also that where he's like, I don't know what he says. He's like, I can't wait.
I love that. I can't wait.
He gets so hyped up.
Yeah. They all find out he's into soccer and they're like,
great idea, Dwight. Oh, gosh.
And Jim hits Phyllis in the face with the soccer ball. He's more of a player, right?
That's right.
And Dwight takes the opportunity to be like, really, Jim? Because I've never, ever heard you talk about it.
Quite immediately. This is bushiest beaver.
So there's also some moments I think when they're in their office actually doing, there's when they actually do the work and you see them delivering the paper, boner alert.
Boner alert. Yeah.
And he gets them in the morning. And
time to make the donuts.
It's one of the few times outside of shots in the warehouse where you see like the work coming to fruition, like paper getting delivered to clients and seeing like, well, here's what they do. And of course, Michael's undercutting them, you know, with, because his overhead's so low and he's doing these low prices, which isn't sustainable.
Right.
Nothing to fear. Just a 40-year-old man with a paper route.
Yeah. They get
the Korean church fan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah Church of Scranton. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But then there's some, I don't know, there's some moments in their
milk
office.
And sugar. That's another great moment.
Oh, yeah.
Milk Did you bring sugar. Any coffee? Milk
you
and
drink
sugar.
This? Awesome. Every this morning.
Just milk and sugar.
Every morning.
Every morning.
But you see the friendship between Michael and Pam really crystallizes over this arc. There's some moment, like when they have the cheese puffs and they're like throwing at each other.
The cheese puffs.
In the
great
office.
Cold open.
There's just some really nice moments of where they're just kind of friends hanging out at work.
There's also that moment where they're asking about making copies and they kind of default to Pam. And Pam is like, I'm not going to make copies because if I make copies the one time, I'm the person who makes the copies.
And as we just discussed, this all started for Pam with not wanting to make copies.
And Ryan's like, why don't we go with whoever has the least education? And Michael's like, we should get a loft. You could have your bed up there.
But yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is like the evolution of Pam. Like, that's another huge part of this arc. That she starts on one end as a receptionist, and she ends up, you know, as a salesman and remains in that job for the rest of the show.
There's this nice kind of full circle moment in the show where Michael fake fires Pam.
Right.
Because there's only one sales job for the two of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the Broke episode, as they...
Well, I guess that's the second time he fires her.
Exactly. So that's the thing. Like in the pilot episode, he fakes fires her for stealing post-it notes or whatever. And then he does it here, but he's like, no, he fake fires and then hires her.
Yeah.
And then he asked her to call in the receptionist.
Aaron.
Yeah. And then he also was like, Ryan did not take it very well when I fake hired him. And told him he got the job.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, so they begin undercutting the clients and then they get into a competition where I think another sort of twist during this time is when Dwight is your opponent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you've unleashed the wolf, right? Or whatever it is, because he like hides all the fish in the vents and then he gets Michael that meatball parm sandwich.
Right, their worst sandwich.
Yeah. He takes a bite and he can't stand it. Dwight in the long sleeves, he's like, I like the long sleeves at first, but now it's like a straight jacket.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, Charles finally recognizes Dwight's bizarre personality and then they meet with David while they're discussing the buyout and like, this is kind of where Jim kind of comes back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Charles is like, no, I want Dwight in there. Dwight's kind of been my guy. And David Wallace is like, I find that extraordinarily surprising.
Yeah.
And then they're like, bees. We get the queen. We plant it on his chair. Yeah. But and then Jim is able to kind of engineer himself back into kind of the leadership sort of circle by keeping Dwight going with the bees. And talking about cracking cases.
Right.
You don't crack a case. You solve a case. The Beat Bandit solved Moe's and Socks. But anyway, that's kind of that moment where, you know, the Michael Scott Paper Company realizes they're broke. Their business model is unsustainable, right? Mm-hmm. Their volumes don't support what they're doing. And then, you know, they end up getting bought back by Dunder Mifflin, right? Dunder Mifflin realizes that, like, you know, there's no way the company can be this profitable. But Michael says, you know, if this goes down, I'll just start another paper company, another paper company, and another. And he goes, Michael. He goes, that's the name of one, you know.
Yeah.
So they eventually get bought back in, and the whole arc resolves in that way, with Michael being reinstalled as manager. Aaron stays on as receptionist, and then Pam and Ryan come back for sales.
And kind of part of that negotiation, too, is that Michael doesn't want to deal with Charles Minor anymore. Right, there's that part where he kind of sends him off.
Like, you're done.
Yeah,
he doesn't get to. And he puts his leg up, and that's how that episode ends.
He doesn't. Yeah, Charles Minor doesn't really get to have a last word.
Yeah.
And again, I touched on this earlier, but too, we see a lot of Dwight's loyalties being tested in this arc too, where he sort of tests his. Maybe he puts the fish up in the vent.
Right.
When they're trying to.
Right.
To steal. Mm-hmm. Like Michael starts trying to steal all of his clients, and then he does the thing with the. color-coded.
Yeah.
That's right.
green means go, as in go ahead and don't say it.
Right.
Most colors mean shut up about it.
And Dwight actually says, how is your gay son?
How is your gay son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, exactly. He's like, you're going to listen as I steal your biggest client, right? It's like HarperCollins or something like that.
Yeah,
he he puts the phone in his pocket and he goes in and he puts on the sales pitch or whatever.
Yep.
Ruthless stuff from Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Which, again, we should probably talk about, like, what does this show that Michael's, is he a good salesman? Does he just have a good business savvy?
He seems to only be a good salesman. I guess he motivates Pam and Ryan, but he doesn't actually set up the company for success.
Yeah, I think objectively we can say, based on what we see in the show, that Michael is a good salesman, right? Like, we see that established, right? And in terms of business success, we see a handful of things that kind of point to that, and a lot of sort of people, human resources things that point in the other direction, right? I think there's also a moment to consider where in season 6, when Jim is co-managing and, it's Survivor Man, I guess. Mm. When Michael is gone and Jim tries to have all the birthdays celebrated together, right?
Right.
And Michael's like, oh yeah, I tried that once, didn't work, you know?
Yeah.
And then when they are co-managing in season 6, right? And everyone's really mad at them because of the beans and the raises and stuff. They're all sitting in Jim's office together. And Michael's like, I used to have to do this by myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they drink gin out of a mug. You know,
yep.
So there are moments where you see that Michael, at the very least, like, does kind of learn. You know?
Yeah.
There's a method to his madness.
Yeah. But it's still
kind of knows what not to do, even though we see him do a lot of things that he shouldn't.
Well, and when everyone's saying, like, let's do the buyout, let's get the money. I mean, he's the one who says no. And he's like, we need jobs.
That's always been something that bothers me, too. It's like they get offered $60,000. It's $20,000 each. I mean, that's not enough money.
No.
But they get, but he's like,
but then
no,
again, Ryan also assumes really excited he gets all about it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have $60,000. Yeah.
But it's, I didn't even think about, like, the fact that, like, Aaron is introduced because of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some pretty essential characters that come into the fold.
Yep.
Thanks to all this maneuvering.
Oh, yeah. And then there's that whole thing where Aaron's real name is Kelly.
Correct.
And Kelly just hangs out at Jim's desk. And anytime Charles calls Kelly, yes, Charles, you needed me.
You wanted me.
Yeah.
The encapsulation of that is just Charles Minor in the target head going, I'm aware of the effect I have on women.
I'm aware. Oh, that's good.
And he's like, why don't I call you Hannon and I'll call you Kapoor? She's like, why don't you call me by my middle name, Aaron? He goes, oh, that's very pretty. She goes, well, my middle name is Roger Naganda and I hate it.
I thought Roger Naganda was a boy's name.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
From Kevin.
Yeah. But anyway, so that kind of wraps up the arc. And then after that, we have the Casual Friday episode, which, which is where they try to reintegrate, right?
Right.
Michael punches through the paper.
It's Michael Scott.
Yeah, exactly. Who is it? Who is it? Anyway.
A man who's ruined all other men for you.
It's like a high school quarterback punching through.
Yeah. And then the salesmen are rightly pissed off that they're coming back after stealing their clients and losing them money. And
they argue.
Phyllis drops a bombshell on Michael. Mm-hmm. You said we were your family, but what did she say?
But then you went after us.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You thought you were hurting corporate, but we were the ones who were suffering. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I never had an orgasm until I was 42.
But anyway, Casual Friday, Cafe Disco, an episode that we have talked about before, and I'm sure we will talk about again.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the Company Picnic, which wraps up, Pam is pregnant. Charles Minor, I think, has his last moment in the series.
Yes.
During the Company Picnic episode.
Yep.
And they
I've been awake all morning.
Yeah. Exactly. I've been awake for a long time. Yeah. Look who decided to wake up.
Yeah.
We all remember what happened last year with Jim's spider in the mitt incident. Yeah. Company Picnic
could have died.
Company Picnic is also the introduction of Rolf.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Who Dwight meets in a shoe store looking for a shoe that would increase his speed while also leaving no tracks.
He's got the homemade sunscreen.
Right. You think the FDA would ever allow that this much DEET? Right.
Is that Chris Gethard?
No, Gethard is...
He's the other...
Shoot.
His other... His hitman.
Yeah. Exactly.
The pipe.
I remember his name.
Shoot. He's like, I have a gun. And he gives him the receipt.
Yeah.
And he's like, where do you keep the gun? And he's like, in a safe. Is it a good safe? And he's like, you sell me. And he gives him another receipt. And he's like, sandwich delivery for Oscar Martinez. And it's a sandwich with a pipe sticking out of it. Oscar is out of the office, and Kevin is like, I'm Oscar Martinez.
Yeah. That's
it. Is it Troy? No, Troy is the Ryan's Hobbit friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to our land.
I'm trying to think of the Chris Gethard's character's name.
Like, and what his relationship actually is.
He's just one of Dwight's friends.
Yeah.
A lot like Wolf is the other one, who he tries to hire on as a salesman later on in season 9.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I mean, I think you said it really well, Edwin, near the beginning, which is like, we essentially end up at the same place after all this. Like, right. Literally,
Trevor,
like,
Pam's a
salesman. Pam's a salesman.
Ryan is a temp, again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pam is a salesman, and Aaron is in the office. But other than that,
it spins around and it goes in the same direction, but things are not the same, right?
Yeah.
Pam has been kind of like changed, right? She's off the receptionist thing, and Jim has now been like set up as a character that we can see as we can kind of make fun of Jim sometimes, right?
Right.
We take Dwight a lot more seriously, right? Mm-hmm. Aaron is established as a receptionist, but she's kind of Michael calls her a rube, right? She's a bit of a rube, right? And then Andy and Dwight aren't enemies anymore, right?
Yeah.
And then the other salesmen kind of they stand up for themselves, right?
Yeah.
Andy and Stanley and Phyllis, they all kind of stand up for themselves. Mm-hmm. So things just kind of change. And then going into season 6, the writers, I think, kind of experiment a lot more. Jim becomes the co-manager. You know, they eventually get bought by Sabre. Like,
right.
All these different things kind of happen. But Michael Scott Paper Company, I think, is the first, and it's the most concentrated instance where the show, like, really gets kind of shaken all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, halfway through the series, just about. I mean, or a little past. The writers, like, let's totally shake it up. And it, I think it pays off incredibly and is a huge launching point for the last 4 seasons.
I mean, so much of the early seasons is, like, you know, something like it's whatever day at the office and then Michael learns a lesson, right?
Right.
Like so much of that it happens in the early seasons. And like Jim and Pam are in love, Jim is messing with Dwight, you know, that's a solid 20 minutes. And like when, you know, at a certain point, especially with Holly coming in as a love interest for Michael, like they start to kind of change things up a little bit and these characters get drawn in different directions. So,
I wonder if there was any question at the time too that the show would keep going at some point without Steve Carell, and what would that be like? Because it's like, because we do get to see Dunder Mifflin office without Michael in it.
Yeah.
And like, can that still be funny? Can we still create like funny scenarios there? And they absolutely do. Between Dwight and Andy and Jim and the new, and Charles Minor, Aaron, of course, is hilarious.
I remember reading, you know, in the lead up to his departure, right? Steve Carell, there were like news stories on like, I don't know, like Hollywood Reporter, whatever publications cover this kind of stuff, about how Steve Carell is like, yes, I am leaving the office after season 7. Like, I signed a contract and I'm going to leave when that is done. Because Steve Carell was becoming a really big movie star, right? He was in all these different movies at this time. And so I think they also kind of knew it was coming. So to your point, I think it makes a lot of sense that they would try to at least kind of experiment.
See, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trivia?
Trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, getting into trivia here, where every episode I'm going to do my own research, come up with original trivia questions as best I can, and put it to these two gentlemen to see if they can get it.
A couple of Scranton stumpers.
We're ready.
This one is, we have a few different formats for trivia. This one is where I just pick a random episode, watch it, and just do questions from one episode. For this one, we're doing season 3, episode 15, Phyllis's Wedding.
I love this episode.
I'm going to try and ask these in order of difficulty.
Order. Oh, okay.
No, in order of difficulty, I think.
Okay,
but
all right.
I never know with you guys because you're so
good.
The
most difficult first?
No, I think you lead up to it.
All right, that's much.
Yes, yeah. We're going to get harder. okay, how many weeks of honeymoon does Phyllis get?
15.
No.
6?
Yes.
Ah.
6. No one's ever gotten 6 before.
Right.
I think she gets that for a reason.
She does. It's
because she puts Michael in the wedding.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
6 weeks. 15 weeks. That's like half a year. Yeah.
Is 6. No one's ever.
Because Michael's afraid
before.
Of Bob or something like mm-hmm. that, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot to learn about this town, sweetie.
All right.
That was from Bob Vance. It's made of real pine.
question number 2. What's Phyllis's dad's name that Michael drags
is,
him down the aisle?
Oh.
Is it Albert?
Ooh, you're one letter off.
Philbert?
Albert.
Albert. The yeah. Albert. There you go. Oh. Yes, it is Albert. Question number
one. One of my favorite moments in the whole series is when Albert gets out of his wheelchair and walks down the aisle to meet Phyllis, and Michael turns to the camera and goes, bullshit.
And then he drags step by step, still doing this, the right pace.
It's this beautiful moment.
And then he gets onto the line of groomsmen, and he goes into the middle of it.
Shoved down.
Shoved.
He doesn't stand in the end. Question number three. Oh, what was Phyllis's nickname in high school, according to Michael?
Easy Rider.
Ding dong. Question number four. What movie did Dwight mean to see instead of Wedding Crashers?
Grizzly Man.
Question number five. How many weddings has Scrantonicity played?
Ooh.
Two.
The bassist wedding, right? Or the guitarist wedding?
Yeah, it's three. Because this is the third one, and they also did their bassist wedding.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Meant two.
I think you got that one. Question number six. How many bridesmaids are there in Phyllis's wedding party?
Like eight?
I was going to get six or seven.
Four.
Four.
There's only four.
Yeah. Are there four groomsmen as well?
I think there's more than four groomsmen, but there's one an uneven number. Right, yeah. Right. And then Michael shoves in there.
All right, now we can get the bridesmaids back in. Yeah. And Michael, if you could step out.
Yeah.
And then you come back, you, and you. And then the photographer looks right at Michael and then takes the picture again.
Yep. Question number seven. What advice does Kelly give Pam in this episode?
Oh, good question.
When
does she give the advice?
I think it's in the reception. It's afterwards.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I know this one.
It's not related to clothes.
Is it related to Roy?
Oh.
Because this is still when the Roy and Jim is going Pam's like doesn't know what to do.
He's trying to
I'm with Karen, and you know, Pam is with Roy, and Brangelina is with Frangelina.
Right.
Yeah. That's not the advice. No. But, yeah.
The advice is to freak out, get drunk, and tell someone I'm pregnant.
Perfect. That's great.
All right, last question here. Question number eight. Okay, so Scrantonicity... during the reception, plays six songs.
Okay.
During the reception. Oh, we hear it. Scranton needs to play six songs. I want to see if you can name all six songs.
Okay, well, they're all by the Police. That's not true. Yeah. Except for one.
It's by Jewel.
Right.
You Were Meant for Me.
Yes, You Were Meant for Me by Jewel. That's one.
Okay. Don't Stand So Close to Me. Or no.
Roxanne.
Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic.
Yes.
Karen singing.
That's three. Yeah, that's a huge one. The karaoke scene, you see a few.
That's right.
And Jim is waving the cell phone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Stand So Close to Me, I think, is in the video.
Yeah, they don't play it during the...
Every Breath You Take?
Yes, Every Breath You Take. There's some slow dancing scenes. Yeah. And
how many is that we've got?
Roy and Pam. Four. Roy and Pam reconnect. They're playing our song.
Right.
There's two more. It must be two more Police songs, right?
Are they Police songs? Can you give us that clue?
Yeah.
Both of them are Police songs.
Yeah.
Roxanne is not
one. I said Roxanne. Said,
okay.
What's the one that's like... Da, 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 da.
That's Brand New Day. That's just by Sting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm
trying to think of other Police songs. Walking on the Moon.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. What police are the other Police fans. Songs?
The other one is Message in a Bottle.
Message in a Bottle.
And Fields of Gold.
Oh, and Fields of Gold. Okay.
Which is...
a Sting song.
Yeah, which is Sting song. But I think still. Is that their song?
No, it's the Jewel song.
That's the Jewel song.
Because he pays them $20.
Oh, right. It's not
like,
the Police.
Because she's like, I thought they only played Police.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's
like, yeah, I gave them $20.
Yep. 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 That's it. Oh, bonus trivia question I wrote down on the margins. Who catches Phyllis's bouquet? Oh, whose girlfriend?
Oscar?
Whose girlfriend catches?
Oh, Toby.
Oh, Toby's.
Phyllis's, yeah.
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 Toby.
Toby.
Yeah.
Toby.
Yeah. Toby. Yeah. Whatever happens with that.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing, because it's Toby.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it. Well done. You got all right.
Nice. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
I love that episode.
I'll keep doing... I like the random episode ones. They're easier for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
just watch one episode. It's fun. And write it down.
Yeah.
But I'm going frame by frame. You guys know this, so
I know.
Ready.
It makes it very difficult. granted, I think we want a higher degree of difficulty.
Yes, definitely. You've earned it. That's
no, I want. I want... to be stumped. I want to learn. Like, I learn from this.
Yeah.
Trivia.
Yeah, your goal is to create dead air with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put something behind it.
Yeah.
We'll put some sound.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in and listening.
Pippity poppy, give me the zombie.
Yes, sir.
Our next episode, we'll do a fantasy draft of our favorite Office episodes to make the perfect Office season.
5 episodes.
We'll give you all the context during the next episode.
Yes, we will.
Top five.
Yep. Yeah.
See you next time. Threat level who? Michael's gone. Threat level why? Apartheid. Gotta fight it.
Free Mandela. Peace, I'm out. Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.